Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the transformations of manganese mineral called delta MnO2 during oxidation with bisphenol A. So manganese is an important metal in the environment. It is a micronutrient and is essential for plant function. Manganese 4 oxides are naturally occurring, and they are very important because they're strong oxidants. Here they are up on the redox ladder. And we care about these because they can oxidize organic pollutants such as phenols and anilines. So today I'm going to look at a phenolic compound. We chose delta MnO2 because it strongly resembles the naturally occurring mineral bernicite, as we've heard a little bit about already. It has a high surface area and a high number of reactive sites. It is a layered manganese structure, or a phylomanganate, made up of these manganese oxide octahedra. And a special characteristic of this mineral is that it has systematic absences in the layer. So you can see in this picture it's missing a couple manganese centers in the layer. And then as this manganese four centers, some of them get reduced during this redox process, and they form manganese 2 and 3 on the surface. Manganese 2 can either stay sorbed to the surface, or it can desorb and be in the aqueous phase. Manganese 3 has the distinct ability to actually fill in some of those systematic absences, and this is a really important change in the reactivity of the mineral. So the phenolic compound that we chose to look at is bisphenol A, or BPA. It is a precursor to polycarbonate plastics. You may have seen BPA-free on your water bottles or in reference to the epoxy lining on canned goods. Because it is so widely used, it's actually found in groundwater and other natural waters. And this is a problem because it's an endocrine disruptor. It mimics estrogen in the body, and this is extremely relevant for the health of aquatic species. One way we could potentially remove BPA from the environment is to use delta MnO2 as a filter to prevent the compound from actually reaching natural waters. Currently, there is no standardized treatment for phenolic compounds in wastewater. Landfill leachate is a huge source of BPA in the environment because of all the plastic items we put in a landfill, and leachate treatment currently does not account for phenolic compounds. So if we use delta MnO2, we could prevent these from getting in our natural waters, but first we need to characterize the mineral changes that delta MnO2 has in this process. So this experiment has two objectives. The first is to determine the kinetics of BPA during a reaction with MnO2 over an extended reaction, and then to pair those kinetics with changes in the surface of the solid phase. And this is something that is completely novel. Studies in the past have just looked at the fate of the organic. So to pair these with simultaneous changes in the mineral structure can give us some significant insight as to what's actually happening in this reaction. And we predicted that the rate of the reaction would slow down as reduced manganese species alter the reactive structure. The setup for the first objective was 12 sequential additions of BPA to a slurry of delta MnO2. We allowed the BPA to react for 1 hour and then quantified remaining BPA at various time intervals using HPLC, and we used this to determine the kinetics. This is a first order rate plot of our kinetics. We have natural log of the disappearance of BPA on the y-axis over as a function of time. And you can see the first addition happens really fast. We have a really high rate constant. And then by the time we get to the 12th addition of BPA, it actually slows down by about 20 times. So this is something that's really important. The rate slows down after sequential reactions with BPA. So why is this rate slowing down? When we start with our reactors, we just have two things in solution, the manganese 4 mineral and BPA. But as these two react, we start to get a lot of different products. So we're seeing a bunch of different oxidation, organic oxidation products, and then also reduced manganese 2 and 3. So one thing that could be happening is we could be having these products absorb to the surface and actually obscure reactive sites of the mineral. Or we could have a change in the overall, the average oxidation state of the mineral, and this could be due to manganese 3 being integrated into this, into those systematic absences of the mineral. So our second objective was to determine those changes in the mineral. And in this case, we increase the amount of BPA added to our reactors to ensure that there are significant changes happening. And then we collected solids after each reaction with BPA, characterized those solids using X-ray absorption spectroscopy, and then compared them to the changes in the solution kinetics. So again, we see the oxidation rate of BPA slowing down. So here we have concentration of BPA over number of additions with BPA, and each grouping of these data points are the addition and then disappearance of BPA. And I put the times of each reaction down here. You can see that it is really slowing down. The first couple of reactions happen, they're fully oxidized within under an hour. And then by the time we get to about the fifth or sixth addition, it's taking 12 hours. And it doesn't even completely oxidize. It's building up in the system at that point. So another thing we looked at was aqueous manganese 2. We can use manganese 2 as signifying some significant changes to the mineral. So we're producing manganese 2, and it's desorbing from the mineral, and we see it in the aqueous phase. We measured that using optical emission spectroscopy. You can see at first there is no manganese 2 in the system, and then it slowly starts to build up. And so we think that would be a significant change in the mineral. So as I mentioned, we collected solid samples from these reactors as well. I analyzed them using extended X-ray absorption fine structure spectroscopy. And this was to detect changes in manganese 2 and 3 on the surface. So the way this works is you can look at one, you can focus on one manganese center, and based on that center, there are distinct interatomic distances between that manganese and an oxygen atom, and then distances between one manganese atom and another. So, for example, in this data, this first peak represents the interatomic distance between manganese and oxygen, and the second one is from one manganese to another. The way that we can detect manganese 2 in this system is because it has a slightly larger interatomic distance. Manganese 2 octahedra connect via corner sharing, which is shown here, rather than the edge sharing of a manganese 2, or sorry, a manganese 3 or a manganese 4. So that is shown on our radial distribution function here, with a slightly larger interatomic distance. And then for manganese 3, as I mentioned before, it can start filling in absences in the mineral. So if there is manganese 3 in the system, we see an increase in edge sharing manganese per area, and that's something that we call fractional occupancy. So the model that I use to fit this data is a combination of these different electron scattering pathways, and when you put them together, it looks something like this. And then here is all of the fits that I did for each addition of BPA. To the untrained eye, it's very difficult to see changes in the spectra. But if you look closely at this manganese to manganese peak, you should be seeing a difference in the height of the peak. It should be getting larger over additions with BPA, and it should be changing shape as well. So to show those a little more quantitatively, I plotted some of the variables determined in this fit over additions of BPA. So the first variable is over there on the left axis. It's manganese 2 coordination number. And as I mentioned, it's represented by that corner sharing, the number of corner sharing manganeses in our data. And it starts out at 0 and then slowly accumulates in the system, which strongly agrees with our aqueous manganese data that I showed earlier. And then in addition, we have fractional occupancy over here, which is manganese 3 accumulation. So relative to our starting material, which is here, we have an increase in manganese 3 and then a slow decrease. And what this implies is that our manganese 4 electron transfer is faster than the manganese 3 electron transfer because we're actually getting that accumulation. But it also implies that the manganese 3 is reactive to BPA as it is being consumed. Or it could possibly be comproportionation, which is two manganese atoms of different oxidation states, basically just swapping electrons with each other. So that is another option. So in summary, these mineral transformations can be viewed in two different stages. The first stage is during the accumulation of manganese 3, and in this stage, BPA oxidation happens very fast. And then in the second stage, when manganese 2 starts to be found on the surface and in solution, that oxidation starts to slow down pretty significantly. So we hope to continue looking into this and find out the importance of these implications and also to figure out the significance of manganese 3 in this redox system. So I'd like to thank my lab group, the National Science Foundation, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and Argonne National Lab for the XF data.
Got time for a question or two?
Yeah, if you were to bubble your reaction vessel with air, how fast and how effectively could you generate your manganese 4?
Yeah, I think the regeneration is not very fast, and during the in the time scale that I've been using, which is a couple hours up to 12 hours, I don't think it would have a significant effect. Yeah.
I really like your explanation for the slowdown for BPA degradation. Talk about the mineral change. You also mentioned the opportunity. Talk about the occupation. Occupy the active site.
Yeah.
So you did not show us anything, like something like a byproduct coverage. What kind of byproduct are you producing?
Right.
Polymers, for example, from degradation of.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. So there's a huge amount of oxidation products in from BPA. There's over 15 organic products. And that is definitely something that I plan to look into, right, because those oxidation products can be sorbing to the surface and just blocking any more BPA from reacting. So what I plan to do for that is to measure aqueous BPA only versus BPA total in the system. So by dissolving the manganese and comparing what's in the solution phase versus what's on the solid phase. Yeah.
So I'm thinking if you do extraction to see if you have any polymer, like dimer, trimer materials.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point.
One last question.
You reported the concentration of the delta MnO2 in the millimolar terms, and I was confused by that. I think it was 4 millimoles of delta MnO2 as your start. What was the mass concentration of the surface area?
Oh, so the mass concentration, it's 0.33 grams per liter. The surface area is usually around 200 meters squared per gram.
Have you measured that? Was that
yeah, through BET measurements, yeah. I mean, I synthesize my own, so it changes, but on average it's about 200.
It's kind of relevant to Shandy's question too about coverage and
bioenergy. Right, yeah.
All right, let's thank our speaker one more time. Thank you.